The big question in business, how will tonight's State of the Union affect the nation's economic dialogue?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Tonight, President Obama talks to the nation about the State of the Union. He's expected to say the economy, while growing, needs to kick it up a notch. One thing Republicans will be watching is what the president will say about the deficit. The GOP's answer to Mr. Obama's budget plans is newly tapped House Budget Committee Chairman Representative Paul Ryan of Wisconsin. Now, many Americans will meet the congressman for the first time when he gives the Republican response to the president's speech. Janet Hook is congressional reporter for The Wall Street Journal. She has a profile of Ryan in today's edition. Good morning.
Good morning.
So why are Republicans putting so much budget faith in this guy?
Well, he happens to be one of the best educated members of the House on budget issues. He's really quite a policy wonk. You know, his idea of fun is reading budgets and CBO reports.
Any hint of what he thinks needs cutting from the budget? He's got some ideas, right?
Frankly, I think the man thinks everything needs to be cut in the budget. And so he's proposed something called the Roadmap for America's Future. And it talks about making changes in Social Security, Medicare, and discretionary spending. And that's why he's such a lightning rod, but also why a lot of people respect him for trying to take the big picture on the problem.
Now, he's an up-and-comer in the party, perhaps even a Senate candidate in a couple of years, yet he sided with the Wall Street bailout. How's that going to play with the not-so-Wall Street-y Tea Party?
He got some flack for it at the time. I think that that may come back to haunt him if he does pursue higher office. At the time, a lot of Republican leaders did step out and support the bailout of Wall Street. What was significant for him is that he's a big free market advocate. And I think at the time his line was he supported this to basically shore up the free market.
Janet Hook, a congressional reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Janet, thanks.
Thank you.
Tonight, the State of the Union. Of course, tomorrow, the Federal Reserve reports on this week's meeting to hammer out policies for the coming year. With some economic growth, will the Fed reevaluate plans to inject billions into the economy? Here's Marketplace's David Gura.
The short answer is no. Joseph Gagnon is an economist at the Peterson Institute.
It's difficult for me to conceive or imagine that any economic data we've seen or could see in the next few days or have seen in the last few weeks could possibly change their mind.
He says weekly numbers about housing or unemployment don't usually change Fed policy. Marvin Goodfriend agrees. He's a professor at Carnegie Mellon.
I don't think the numbers have changed enough to warrant a rethinking of the overall strategy.
Goodfriend expects the Fed will keep buying bonds, hoping to encourage investment and keep interest rates low.
It's always good to follow through with your plans unless you have exceptionally good reasons to stop doing so.
One good reason would be inflation. He says the Fed's keeping an eye on bond markets. So far, there's been some investor nervousness.
But not enough, in my opinion, to cause the Fed to stop and not follow through on its full $600 billion purchases.
According to Goodfriend, if the Fed feels like it needs to change course, it could.
But we're nowhere near that yet.
The Fed plans to buy its last round of bonds in June. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mixed at the moment. Big telecom Verizon today said quarterly profit didn't quite meet Wall Street expectations. McDonald's says it's planning to raise some of its menu prices to keep up with inflation. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow was up 108 points, just 20 points now, shy of 12,000.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
People who invent things look to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to protect their ideas. But right now there's a big backlog. Well, to help clear the logjam, the agency is going to open its first office outside of Washington, in Detroit. Michigan Radio's Sarah Hewlett reports.
David Kapos is the director of the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and his assessment of how long it takes to grant a patent is pretty blunt.
In a word, it's too long.
Kapos says, on average, it takes about 2 years just to get someone to read your application, then another year after that to hear whether you've been granted a patent.
You know, it's really a major economic drain valued at billions of dollars a year when the government is sitting on patent applications that are all about job creation and opportunity creation for our country.
Sean Quinn understands the long wait for a patent all too well. Quinn is an engineer at General Motors. He is taking me through a door inside a cavernous testing facility at the company's proving ground west of Detroit.
As you can tell, this room is quite quiet. Some of the testing that I personally worked on in here is modal testing on the next generation full-size pickup trucks. This is the room where, you know, we work on keeping our cars quiet and keeping them vibration-free.
That's Quinn's specialty, and he submitted 18 patent applications related to that and other work over the past several years. He's been awarded 4, but the rest hang in limbo, including one for a concept that was shown to suppliers to help GM figure out how to put it into production. That patent application was submitted in 2004.
Two suppliers to date have looked at the execution, developed their production solution, gone ahead and patented it, and received a U.S. filing on that. And we're the originators of the idea, and we still do not have our own patent here.
The Detroit office will open this summer and hire 100 patent examiners. Officials say they chose Detroit in part because the auto industry submits so many patent applications. In Detroit, I'm Sarah Hewlett for Marketplace.
And finally, in case you don't already know this, people are watching you on your Facebook or MySpace page, friends and foes alike, including the bank, checking out photos of your shopping spree, thieves who know when you're out of town. And now, according to the LA Times, life insurance companies are making sure you're really living the healthiest lifestyle. Insurance consultant Salant did this study suggesting stuff found on social networking sites could be used to set policy prices. Does your latest photo show you smoking or skydiving? Ouch. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, tweeting at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Food scientists are tinkering in the kitchen in ways, honestly, that are kind of hard to conceptualize.
Just like an inkjet printer you have at home, instead of putting down droplets of ink, I'm putting down droplets of food.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the Freakonomics of Food and the Numbers from Wall Street, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.